from climate change to Galilee in Israel. We've got you covered today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, a blind man standing by the side of the road. He was a blind bird. It was a heavy load. And though he lived a good life, he could not see.
Walk a man from Galilee.
He touched his eyes and made
it. Oh, okay. It's not exactly the most Jewish sounding song, but we are in the Galilee right now, live from Israel. All right. We got a good portion of our tour group here that's joining us again for the broadcast. And I think, instead of talking about Sea of Galilee, I was talking about Sea of Tiberias last night. But anyway, we are where we are here in Israel. And folks having a great time. We'll get to hear from our tour group in a bit. And let me tell you, there's going to be a first on the broadcast today. Not just a first from Israel, but a first ever. You've noticed that there's subjects I talk about. There's subjects I talk about with some degree of authority. There's some subjects I talk about frequently, biblical, cultural, spiritual issues. And there's some I don't talk about much at all because I don't have expertise in them. And one of them is climate change. But we are going to bring on a teacher of creation, Creation Ministries, to interact with some clips from the science guy, Bill Nye, about creation. What do you know? So creation, climate change, some interesting issues. So that's coming your way. Again, first time I have ever discussed this at any length on the air, and you get to hear it live from Israel. Okay, also, I want to give away a book. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Don't call yet, but we're just chatting about this. One of the gentlemen on the tour group got a free book by being the right number caller, whether it was caller number 5 or 15 or whatever. And we just said, well, why don't we give away a book? And another member of the tour group suggested Our Hands Are Stained With Blood. And actually, I've got a story that ties in with that, Our Hands Are Stained With Blood. So let's just do it. Caller number 7-866-348-7884. This is my most translated book. This book has made an impact on church leaders and believers around the world. I want to give you a free copy of The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People. And 866-34-TRUTH. I got a letter today from a gentleman who's got a master's degree and is a medical doctor. And when he came to faith as a Jewish believer, he was told by a Gentile Christian that he needed to eat pork in a public ceremony to prove that he was no longer under the law and that he could, quote, accept the word, if you could believe this. So, yeah, amazingly enough, these things still happen. I have other friends that's happened to who were told to eat a ham sandwich to prove that they were Jewish. If you want to know how absolutely horrific and mind-boggling that is, and we do have a winner. Thank you. We do have a winner. If you want to know how mind-boggling that is, get the book, Our Hands Are Stained With Blood, but it is free for caller number 7, but we do have a winner, so thank you for calling. Okay, I've got a very special announcement. Before we get into this climate change issue or any of the other things we're going to discuss today and more news from Israel, before we do any of that, a very special announcement for everyone listening on WMCA in New York, 570 AM, our biggest station actually in the country. We have been investing funds for many years to broadcast in New York. The show does not pay for itself. We raise funds to be on the air in New York, and we've been with you for 6 years. But at the end of this week, there will be other programming that will be taking the place of The Line of Fire. Now, don't panic. You can still listen to us. In fact, you can listen to us 2 hours a day, but you can do it on your cell phone, your tablet, or your computer. All right, so we won't be on your radio, at least for now, as there'll be other programming coming on. But we just want you to know, WMCA 570 AM has been our joy to pour into you for these last 6 years on radio, this fine station. To keep listening to me, go to the website, thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, on your tablet, your phone, your computer, or download the Ask Dr. Brown app, ASK Dr. Brown, on your Android phone.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To the deniers out there, or the extreme skeptics, I want you to think about what's called cognitive dissonance. Do you remember cognitive dissonance? Good liberal arts education thing. This is a psychology theory that you can run tests and show that it's true. So I submit to you, climate deniers, that what you're doing is, instead of accepting that climate is changing, you're denying the evidence, and along with that, you're dismissing the authorities.
All right, that was the voice of the science guy, Bill Nye, and he was doing an interview, actually, with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders during a live Facebook event. And what he said plainly is that those who deny that it is human beings causing the rapid climate change that we see today, they are suffering from cognitive dissonance. In other words, they are denying reality. And he has some other quotes that are even more volatile. Now, look, if you know my background, you know that I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to be a scientist. And there may be overwhelming evidence for climate change that is caused by human beings. Could well be. I've never discussed the subject or studied it in any length. It's not something that I focused on. If you remember my story, in my high school years, when I should have been taking serious science classes, the first couple of years, I was doing drugs. I was getting high. I didn't pay attention. Then right before I got saved at the age of 16, I went on strike in my school, and we were given all these special privileges for some crazy reason. So I had no formal classes except band and orchestra my last 2 years of high school. And then in college and through my PhD in Semitic languages, I took no science classes. And I've just never focused on this particular issue. But there are some very, very strong words for those that disagree with the idea that climate change is being caused by human beings. And I want to play one more clip, and then we're going to bring on a special guest, Gary Bates with Creation Ministries. He's been teaching on creation evolution since 1990 and is also focused on the issue and question of climate change, things like UFOs. He's covered the controversy. So he's going to be joining us momentarily, but I want to play one more clip for you. And JJ, let's grab clip number 11. This is Bill Nye, April 14th, 2016, on the CFACT YouTube channel about should there be criminal charges and jail time for those who deny climate change being caused by human beings.
What's your thought on jailing skeptics as war criminals?
We'll see what happens. Was it appropriate to jail the guys from Enron?
Interesting.
Okay, right. So we'll see what happens. Was it appropriate to jail people from the cigarette industry who insisted that this addictive product was not addictive and so on? And you think about, in these cases, for me as a taxpayer and voter, the introduction of this extreme doubt, where you go with extreme doubt about climate change, is affecting my quality of life as a public citizen. So I can see where people are very concerned about this and are pursuing criminal investigations as well as engaging in discussions like this.
All right, let us bring on Gary Bates from Creation Ministries International. Gary, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire.
No problems at all, Michael. Good to talk to you.
And are we speaking to you from Australia?
No, I'm an Aussie, but I head up a U.S. office of Creation Ministries International, which is based in Atlanta, Georgia. But we actually have 7 offices around the world. And let me just say, not just to give us a plug, but it's going to be relevant to our discussion. To the best of my knowledge, Creation Ministries International, CMI, I think we employ more scientists and more PhDs than any Christian ministry in the world. And the reason I mention that is, when I hear comments like those of Bill Nye, whether it's about climate change or the science has settled on evolution, it's an argument about authority, their authority, and, they basically claim that there is no dissenting science. And that's just simply not true. I mean, our PhDs, they didn't get their degrees out of a cornflake box. They get them from exactly the same secular universities as the evolutionary believing community, for example. So so, you know, their argument from authority is really trying to stifle any contrary opinion or contrary dissent. And to me, that's actually anti-scientific anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I understand, as someone that went through grad school with all professors that differ with me, college and grad school, you can be intimidated by that. They know so much. And then when you find out someone who agrees with you, who knows as much as they do and challenges their views, it really is faith building. And certainly, Gary, you know how many believers, high school, college, actually lose their faith or go through a temporary faith crisis because it seems these learned professors have all the answers and they attack any view of creation and things like that. So it's important. What you're saying is important. Yeah, God is God if everyone believes in him or if no one believes in him. But the idea that science has settled certain issues is really a myth.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because I've just finished conducting about an 18-month survey on college campuses around Atlanta. And there's been a lot written, statistics produced by various denominations to show the amount of youth leaving the church, you know, once they start college. Yep. But the message doesn't seem to be getting through. So we actually took a film crew, went out on these colleges, and we only asked a couple of questions. So we pretty much only wanted to identify and ask kids as they're walking along the campus, were you raised in the church? Question one. So if they were, we grabbed them. Question two, evolution or creation? What is true? And you know, overwhelmingly, out of the dozens and dozens of kids we interviewed, they all said evolution. Only a handful said they believed in biblical creation. Remember, these are kids that raised in the church. Next question. Were you ever exposed to any scientific evidence while you were at home in the church to show that biblical creation might be true? No. Every single child who said they believed in evolution said they were never exposed to an alternative point of view. The handful of kids who said they still believed in biblical creation, every single one, Michael, said they were given information, whether it was a creation presentation, a video or some books or a website that showed there was an alternative view. The next question, do you still go to church? And every single student who said that they believed in evolution were never shown any alternative scientific evidence, except one no longer goes to church. And the handful of kids who said they believed in biblical creation were shown evidence. Every one of them we interviewed said they still go to church. And if people go to creation.com, it's pretty hard to remember, isn't it, our website, they'll see a big banner on the front page called Fallout. And it'll take them to a web page where we discuss this, and they can even see trailers of the 27-minute video. And in the same way, when it comes to issues like climate change, you know, when I was reviewing the Bill Nye videos, you know, he mentioned when he was on Fox News that he's a member of two skeptics organizations, right?
Yep.
But in fact, one of the world's greatest climate change skeptics or deniers is a fellow skeptic, evolutionist, anti-Christian, anti-creationist by the name of Professor Ian Plimer, and certainly no friend of ours, from Australia. So there are leading scientists in his own camp who are even, you know, non-Christian evolutionists who do not fall down on the same side of believing as he does, that the situation with the alleged climate change is as bad as it is. And one of our associates, Mike Ord, he worked, he's a scientist, meteorologist, worked with the government for over 30 years. And we've got a talk, a video people can get from our site called The Great Global Warming Debate. And he's basically saying, looking at all of the stations and around the world that have been recording temperatures and data, you know, Nye claims it's accelerating drastically because of human activity. Mike Ord, who is a specialist in this particular area, would say, you know what? We don't need to knee-jerk react now. We have more time, and we need to collect more data. That's a scientific approach. And the trouble is, what's happened today is the whole climate change idea has become politicized. So whether you even believe it's happening or not, it doesn't matter. Governments believe that it's happened. They're getting, you know, making knee-jerk rapid responses based upon the science that they're being given. And they're just going to pay the consequences for it anyway. In Australia, my home country, the previous government to the one we had now introduced a carbon tax. So everybody was paying money as a result of, you know, the alleged greenhouse gases that were contributing to the atmosphere. And the present government we have now, when they got in, they reversed it. So there you go. It's been politicized.
Got it. All right. Listen, Gary, when we come back, I want to play another clip or two from Bill Nye. But here's the big question. I could understand why someone who doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe in the God of the Bible, would assault the idea of creation and a creator. I could understand the spiritual reasons for that. That makes sense to me. And they could claim, well, it's all scientific. Fine. But for many, it's clearly a spiritual battle and a spiritual issue. I don't get why there would be such a spiritual battle over the issue of climate change, or is it just political, economic? We'll talk with Gary Bates from creation.com. We come your way live from Israel on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The core question, from what I can tell, is why the change? Is it part of the endless cycle of climate change, or is human activity causing it? That seems to be the debate to me. And it seems an open question, not a settled question, to what degree human activity is causing that. Is that
It's not an open question. It's a settled question.
All right, that was Bill Nye speaking with Tucker Carlson. We're joined by Gary Bates from Creation Ministries International, creation.com, coming away live from Israel. All right. And again, if you're listening on WMCA, didn't hear my announcement at the beginning of the broadcast, stay tuned. In the next few minutes, I want to share this again. Gary, I would love to get you on. We could take a whole hour and talk through a bunch of creation-related issues and how we can educate kids and how they can take advantage of your website. It's so important. We've done this at other times, but as you share those stats about kids falling away over this and not being presented with alternative evidence and facts on our side, it's so staggering. I'd love to do it again. But right now, we focus on the climate change issue. So in your opinion, why, as someone like Bill Nye, not just dogmatic on the creationism issue, I understand why he mocks our position. I understand why his spiritual viewpoint or presuppositions or whatever would bring him where he is. But why this dogmatism about climate change and human involvement in it? What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's nothing new. You know, if I would have sit down with an evolutionary scientist and I, you know, discussed the role of photosynthesis, you know, in flowering of plants or something like that, you could have a nice conversation about the science. But as soon as you bring design or the creator into it, you'll see an immediate change in attitude. And ultimately, this gets back to who's a dominion argument, if you want to. See, as creationist, mm-hmm. as a creationist, I believe that God put man as a steward of this planet. He made this planet not only for his benefit, this universe for his benefit, for his glory, but he made us as stewards of it. So I'm no greenie, but I absolutely believe that we need to take care of our environment. We need to take care of our planet because it's in our own interests. When we fell, when we sinned and rebelled against God, there were massive effects to our environment. He says, I'll put thorns and thistles in the ground. You are now going to die. There were consequences for our actions. So it's not an unbiblical thing to say, you know, we need to look after those things that God has given us. When we do that, we believe as Christians, because God is the creator of the universe and he's going to create a new universe, a new heavens and earth in the future, we have that element of trust. There is a future hope for you and I. You know, we are secure in our belief for the future. And this earth, Michael, is temporary, right? It's not going to be this earth that God's going to restore and recreate from the stuff, I believe, but there's going to be a new heavens and earth. For the evolutionist and anti-creationist like Nye, what is their future? There is no greater hope to put it in except this earth. That's it. And so for them, if they really believe that our activities are causing great harm to the earth, there is no future hope for them. That's it. And so because he passionately believes in it, he thinks that anybody that is against that view is, in a sense, causing criminal activity. You know, I noticed his comment about the Enron directors, but I'm sorry to be blunt about this, but what a ridiculous straw man argument. You know, they were found negligent in their performance of their duty as company directors by not having same safeguards. They weren't simply expressing a different opinion about the science.
Exactly.
But this is no different. You know, we've had people like Lawrence Krauss, famous evolutionist in this country, says teaching creation is child abuse. Richard Dawkins in the UK has said if people teach creation, you know, he believes their children should be removed from them, etc. Mm-hmm. But as I said at the beginning of the show, you know, there are scientists who have very, very different opinions about the world we look at. We interpret facts differently, and we do it based upon our worldview or our belief. And ultimately, that's the problem here. His worldview and his belief system is that ultimately, you know, you and I are the product of chance, random processes over millions and billions of years, and the earth is it. There is nothing beyond this life. Once you die, that's it. So guess what? We've got to try to maintain and keep this planet going as long as we can for the benefit of the human species. But, you know, but then at the same time, I think it's kind of there's a paradox in all of that statement, because the great green movement actually wants to demean the value of humans to that over, you know, lesser organisms. But evolutionists should say, well, we're the top of the food chain, you know, to heck with the rest of the species, because it's survival of the fittest. So
I remember
the goalpost.
Yeah, I remember, Gary, some years ago that one of my friends was approached. It was probably late 80s, early 90s, because I remember where we were living when it happened. And someone from the Greenpeace movement came by and knocked on his door, and they were raising money to help baby whales. Well, certainly, we care about all of creation, and if there's some abusive practice and cruel practice, you know, that gets your attention. But they were raising money to help protect the baby whales and save the baby whales. And he looked at them and said, I'm more concerned about saving the baby humans. And they stormed off in anger. And it is fascinating, as you say, that many of those who are the most radical environmentalists are also the most radical pro-abortion people. You think something is not lining up. If you care about the earth and you care about a whale or a puppy, how much more about a baby in the womb? But yeah, there is a worldview issue. Hey, Gary, if folks go to creation.com and they want to find out more about climate change and see what does the science say, what's the take of your scientists there, do they just search for it, or any places you'd recommend?
Yeah, they can type in global warming, climate change, you know, greenhouse gases. We've got over 12,000 articles on our website. There's about 36 years of creation research there. And it's all free. There's videos. We even have responses to Bill Nye. So if they go to our multimedia center on there, we put a response to his, you know, creation, teaching creation is child abuse. You'll see a response video by a couple of guys in our Canadian ministry that says evolution is not appropriate for anyone, a response to Bill Nye.
Excellent. All right, friends, that's all at creation.com. And Gary, we'll look forward to scheduling you. We can get a whole hour, and we'll let folks call in that differ with you. I'm sure you'll be more than ready to answer them. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, Michael. Thank you.
All right. So, friends, remember, go to creation.com, search for Nye, N-Y-E, or global warming to find out the take of their scientists on these issues. All right, friends. Again, if you're listening to me on WMCA 570 AM in New York, our great station, New York City into New Jersey onto Long Island, as of next Monday, there'll be another program airing during this time. It's been our joy to pour into you and to raise funds around the country to pour into you there in New York. But there's going to be a programming change. But you can keep listening on your computer, on your cell phone, on your tablet. Just go to AskDrBrown.org. Or download the app, the Ask Dr. Brown app, on your Android phones or tablets, or just go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and you can listen live for 2 hours or anytime. Subscribe to the podcast. We want to stay in touch with every one of you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here we are live by the Sea of Galilee in Israel. This is my many trips to Israel, only the second time we've done a tour with the help of my dear friend Scott Volk and our tour guide Tisha. And at night we do the radio broadcast live from Israel, so it's 9 to 11 in the evening here, so it's 9:30. Well, I finished the broadcast last night, and I go walking out, and there's a familiar face. I had to be reminded of the owner of that face. It's like, what in the world are you doing here? Well, it's kind of a crazy story that you're going to hear in a moment as I'm going to be joined by Steve Ugin. We connect it in the States because of his tremendous heart for reaching those who identify as LGBT. Not so much to get involved on the political issues, the cultural issues, but to reach the people with prayer and the love of Jesus. And he invited me to participate in an event with him. And I knew it was not going to be some massive event. And I knew we weren't going to have the key leaders from around the nation. I knew we were going to have people who really had a heart of love and really wanted to see lives changed and were willing to sacrifice in prayer and fasting and outreach to see that happen. And somehow, when we're flying out of JFK Saturday night on the way to Israel here, one of the gentlemen comes up to me and to introduce himself. And I remembered the face, but I couldn't place him. He said, hey, he was the driver when I was in this ministry with my guest here. And I remembered him from that. Well, we end the broadcast. And here's the guy. What in the world are you? How did you find us in this shop where they've turned over to us, Galilee Experience, for us to do our broadcast? How in the world did you find it? So it's an interesting story. And I said, if you're still here, come and join me. So Steve Ugin, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Great to be here.
All right, Steve, the ministry that you lead in the States, what's that called?
It's called Firebase Movement.
Firebase Movement.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been a missionary in the States for 12 years, but this Firebase Movement's kind of evolved in the last three or four.
All right, so missionary in the States, so you feel the calling just as if you were a missionary to a foreign country.
That's right, yeah.
And what drives you? What moves you?
Well, what moves me is how many lost people we have all over our nation. When I had an encounter with the Lord, I was a corporate finance attorney. That's my story, and had a radical encounter with the Lord. And when I came into the presence of God for the first time, I just wanted to give that away. And so that's really what's fueled everything that I've done since that moment is people need to know about this. This Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. It's not a religion, it's reality. And no one had shared the gospel with me, so my heart really burns to see people encounter the Lord.
And do you have a team that works with you?
I do, yeah. We have about 20 missionaries across the country, the U.S., and we're in about 7 cities right now.
And what would you say are the key characteristics of this ministry?
Well, we are intimacy based. What we found is that you can't give away what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So as we as the Lord began to call us to mobilize the church into the Great Commandments and Great Commission, we started to bring the church out onto the streets. Not that everybody's going to be a street evangelist, but we feel like but street ministry is a great classroom to break off fear, to break off apathy, to get people out of their comfort zone, and to begin to realize that the scriptures are true. If we go out and we actually, engage our culture in a spirit-led way, the kingdom of God gets released. So we're huge on intimacy, but not intimacy just to sit around and get into the presence of the Lord, but unto proclamation of the gospel. So
got it. So yeah. Encounter God, and then out of that encounter with God, your heart breaks for a dying world. You're filled with his love, and you go to take that message. So we'll talk a little bit about what happened in the States and some of what you've seen in terms of reaching out to those who identify as LGBT. But right now, we're all in Israel, and I had no idea you were in Israel until I saw your smiling face last night at the end of the show. So we'll talk about how in the world we ended up getting connected here in Israel. You're going to be encouraged.
It
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hearing singing in Hebrew as we were having our dinner, you were hearing people speaking in Hebrew. That's because we are live in Israel. All right, now these folks are troopers. They've been out touring all day, and then busy day, then dinner, then we just had a meeting, a kind of hangout meeting from 7 to 8 here in Israel, and then came right over here. So these folks are troopers. We'll see how they do tomorrow on the tour if they're fading. I was going to do a little test today when we had the joint meeting, which was, all right, I want everyone to close their eyes and meditate for 30 seconds to see how many didn't open their eyes after 30. This is Michael Brown, thrilled to be with you. We've got a special week of broadcasts today, tomorrow, as last night as well, from the Galilee, and then Thursday and Friday from Jerusalem, God willing. So looking forward to all of those. Before I come back to my guest, Steve Ugin, and how we even connected here is just further evidence of God's hand. I want to go back to one thing. Right before the break, I was talking with a leader with Creation Ministries, about Gary Bates, about the issue of climate change and things like that, and what our approach should be. And we were discussing the fact that many who seem to be the most radical environmentalists, and I'm all for protecting the planet, being good stewards of the planet, but some who seem to be the most radical environmentalists are also radical on social issues in ways that would surprise you. Instead of being radically pro-life, want to protect the baby in the womb, they tend to be radically pro-abortion. I just want to grab one call on that. Frank in New York City, thanks for calling. So what's your take on why some folks who are real strong on global warming as human change, and whether it is or not, I'm not even debating that right now, but why they tend to be so strongly also pro-abortion?
Oh, thank you, Michael. God bless you. Most people miss this, and there's a very strong connection between the green pieces, if you will, and the pro-abortion crowd, and they are certainly pro-abortion. Most earthers believe that there's only a limited amount of resources on the planet, Michael, and to them, abortion is actually a very good thing. It culls the herd. It keeps the population of the planet down, because they worship the creation rather than the creator. Now, we had a situation here last week in New York City, and you may have heard about it, where a bull escaped from a slaughterhouse in Queens, and it was running through the streets, and it had to be tranquilized. It went on for several hours, and at some point, the bull dropped dead in the street. And what happened was you had a bunch of these earthers coming by and holding a vigil in front of the slaughterhouse in memorial of the bull. And one of them actually said that the bull was his brother. These people would never be caught dead doing such a thing in front of an abortuary, abortion clinic.
Yep.
Because it would undermine their whole cause. If they believed in God, they would have to get away from their abortion stance, and it would undermine the cause of keeping the population down on the planet. So it's all tied together. Most believers they miss this completely, Michael. And you asked a very, very good question. Why is there a connection there? This is the main connection. Mr. Bates really didn't touch upon this, but it's the main connection. So we have to be aware of this and fight them all the more.
All right. Hey, Frank, I appreciate that. And yes, I've never thought of that connection. And I just had a thought, Frank from New York City, our faithful Catholic listener, might have an interesting take on that. Thank you, Frank, for weighing in. I appreciate it. And look, obviously, if we got a tour of a slaughterhouse, we might all become vegetarians after that. But what a scene. What a picture he just painted. Now, I took the call in the midst of my discussion with Steve Ugin, because Steve, you have reached out with compassion to gays and lesbians and others. You have reached out to those that would be marginalized. I'm sure you have a burden about abortion, pro-life. In your view, obviously we can look at this all in a spiritual way, but what's the worldview? How is it that people that don't believe what we believe are seeing this life differently, seeing this world differently. They have fundamentally different presuppositions. Boil it down in terms of your perspective.
In terms of abortion?
Abortion, homosexuality.
Oh, okay.
Just that those that don't believe what we believe tend to have different values and different priorities. And they're a champion for this cause that we think is the wrong cause. And what do you think it stems from?
Well, for me, it stems from not having the Spirit of God, you know, in their hearts. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I would have been. I was the guy at the abortion clinic escorting women into the clinic. I was the guy.
Really, you were?
Oh, I was the guy. Uh-huh. Yeah, prior to having an encounter with the Lord. And so when you don't have God's heart on something, when your heart is dull to it, you just your mind doesn't understand like the heart of God. And
why were you doing it? Why were you escorting them?
Well, I was doing it because I bought the whole, I mean, I believe it is a spiritual matter. I believe that there are, you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're, mm-hmm. you know, that there are powers in the yes. heavenlies that are pushing a demonic agenda, and any heart that's open to receiving their agenda gets used to promote that agenda. And so, you know, the scriptures are really clear with us about, you know, unless we're in the kingdom of God, we're enslaved to darkness. And so I think people are slaves to ideologies, and they don't even understand why they believe what they believe. It doesn't even make sense. That's why a lot of these logical contradictions show up in the hearts and the minds of pre-believers. I like to call them pre-believers
yeah.
because I believe there's a redemptive path for everybody once they have an encounter with the Lord and begin to get his heart. So, you know, I mean, I was that guy. I was the guy getting my girlfriend pregnant and then encouraging her to get an abortion. And then when I was born again, when I received the Holy Spirit, obviously my whole mind, my whole outlook began to change as I discovered what God's heart was through the scriptures. And then, of course, I was broken, repentant, you know, and obviously pro-life now, because I know that God is pro-life.
Yeah, I've mentioned this on the air before and written about it a little, but the first Operation Rescue type event I was involved in, where everyone sits around the abortion clinic and you pray and you worship, and then you get arrested because you're not allowed to be there, I was shocked. And one I participated in, and then another one where a friend was speaking, but he was a leader in that movement, and I was at a meeting where he was speaking. It was the same thing that you had these rabid protesters. I mean rabid, I mean screaming, yelling, and ugly words and terms. But there were many lesbians among them. There were atheists, and there were Satanists. I'm thinking, what brings them together on the issue of abortion? But it was in a certain way, there was an ungodly coalition spiritually that you could understand. And yeah, there's a logic, as Frank was saying from New York, if you've got limited resources on the planet, then you want less people, right? And you know, so you've got that ideology too. But yeah. Ultimately, it ends up in non-reproductive life. And so you have in Europe, for example, there's a growing crisis. The birth rates are too low. You must have at least 2.1 babies born for a woman, say, between 18 and 44 would be the average of childbearing years. That on average, each woman should have 2.1 children. Otherwise, if you dip below that, then there's not enough in the generation coming in to support the older generation, and mm-hmm. the society cannot sustain. There's no society in history that's sustained when it's dropped precariously below that. In Spain, it's now 1.3 wow. children. And I think the average age of first having a child is something like 32. And it doesn't mean it's wrong if someone out there doesn't have kids yet or they're older and they're not married. It's just a whole culture doesn't mm-hmm. celebrate life. And there's a whole outlook with it, but it ends up, it can't be sustained long term. Mm-hmm. So we have an answer and a message that can be sustained long term. And before we get to Israel and how we got together last night, give me one example. We've got a minute and a half of something you've seen reaching out with compassion to the gay and lesbian community in America.
What I've seen is they're broken people just like people in the church. When you get face to face with people in that community, this was, I guess, the biggest awakening for me. You found out that the lie that they're all against God or that they have a hostility towards God, that kind of falls away, actually.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to just love on them and listen, and you know what, we talk about this all the time connected to the work we do, that evangelism and outreach is a lot more about listening than it is about talking. Because as you begin to listen, you begin to get a topographical map of that person's heart. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so as you do the ministry of listening, you find out that there are wounds and there's just brokenness that's common to man. And that particular community has got sexual brokenness just like the church has sexual brokenness. So when I minister to that community, I minister out of a place of my own sexual brokenness and how the redemptive story of God broke into my life and brought me out of that and began to explain God's boundaries for sexuality. You know, I think in that community, their perception is God's just waiting to crush them,
yeah,
and that they're judged and that there's no hope for them and they're just stuck in this place. And the truth is, God loves them, and there's power in the gospel that's available to them to overcome and come out of that sexual brokenness.
And often behind a lot of the anger is hurt,
yeah,
as well. All right, here we are in Israel. How in the world did we connect here in this studio last night? You'll find out when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of these special broadcasts live from Israel. All right. And each day gets more amazing than the next. There are going to be water baptisms in the Jordan, which when we first did them a few years ago, I was like, oh, I don't know, isn't that a little hokey? But boy, were touched, and I thoroughly enjoyed doing it. It was kind of a highlight of the trip as well to Jerusalem, yeah, which is always amazing. My guest, Steve Ugin, if you want to find out more, his ministry is firebaseministry.movement.com. Fire. See, I always say it wrong once because it helps you to learn it better. All right. So
firebaseministry.movement.com.
All right. The reason I mention it is because they often do outreaches in different cities, and they look for people that partner with them that will pray, have a like heart, and do outreach. Okay, so I had no idea that you were part of a tour here in Israel, mm-hmm, just here on a tour,
yep,
with others. But as a lover of Jesus, you're always looking for an opportunity to interact with people.
That's
and
right.
You meet all kinds of people here in Israel, folks that live here, folks traveling on other tours. So what happened last night?
Well, we were on the Mount of Beatitudes, just spending some time with the Lord. We did the organized tour kind of at the beginning of the week, and then Colin and I broke off, and the two of us have just been traveling around to some of the other sites that we didn't get to and spending some time with the Lord. And we do what we train and equip other believers to do, which is just to inquire of the Lord, you know, and say, Lord, where do you want us to go have dinner? So we prayed and sensed, this is kind of a weird leading, but felt like God was saying Chinese food. So we look up Chinese food
in Israel,
in Tiberias, and there's like two restaurants. And we're like, okay, which one is it? And felt kind of a nudge to one of them rather than the other, a place called the Pagoda here in Tiberias. So we show up, and there's this young woman who is our waitress, and we ask her name because we just want to love on people. And that's one of the real easy ways to just connect with them is, what's your name? And she said, it's Shriel. And Shriel means song of God. And so what we've found is that the Lord will always give you a key to open up a conversation. And so when she shared that her name was Song of God, it was interesting because when we landed in Israel, the Lord had given us a new song. I mean, Colin was playing his guitar in Tel Aviv, and all of a sudden this prophetic song came out. And we said, well, Shriel, we think we have a song that we're supposed to sing for you. So she was open to it. She asked the manager if it was okay. They turned the music down in the restaurant.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. This is really what happened. And Colin went out and got the guitar. So we stood up and we just began to worship the Lord in the middle of this restaurant. And the staff starts to gather and other customers start to gather. And then we start to call down the Ruach HaKodesh. We just said, Holy Spirit, come. And the presence of God starts to manifest in this restaurant. Everybody's getting touched by the Lord. We had Jewish families come up to us and thank us and ask us where we were from. And of course, Shriel, when we got some one-on-one time with her, we began to tell her the story of why we were in Israel. So I shared my testimony, shared how I had had an encounter with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and then eventually met Yeshua. And she said, wow, I hope I can have an encounter with the Ruach HaKodesh. And so we said, well, we think you can, you know? So we said, we want to pray with you, but we also want to get you a copy of the New Testament in Hebrew, which is God's love letter to his people. And she said, okay, that would be amazing. And we ended up praying with her. The Holy Spirit just touched her. And we actually ended up going back tonight to get to give her the copy of the Hebrew scriptures. But last night we came back to the hotel. We didn't have a copy of the New Testament in Hebrew. We're up in the hotel. It's about 9 o'clock. Colin's out. I mean, literally, I hope I'm not uncovering him, but he was in his PJs. And, you know, we're just kicked back for the night.
As long as they're modest PJs. We're
yeah, good. They're very modest. Yeah, yeah. Very okay. Modest. PG-13 PJs. And so we... he's sitting there and he goes, you know, I think there's a messianic bookstore down on the boardwalk on the waterfront. And it was like 9 o'clock at night. We're thinking nothing's open. And I said, well, he goes, actually, I think there's some lights on in there. And I said, well, let's go down and just see if they're open so we can buy a New Testament in Hebrew, a Hebrew Bible for this waitress. And we'll bring it to her tomorrow. So he reluctantly gets his pants back on. We come down here. We come down and see that the store is supposed to be open till 10. It's 9 o'clock and the door's locked. So we're like, oh man, what's going on? And he's like, oh, well, it's Israel. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just knock. So we knock. And then a minute later, a woman comes to the door and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, we're closed. There's a radio broadcast going out from here. I'm like, a radio broadcast from a bookstore. This is kind of weird. Can we just get a Bible? We're trying to get a Bible for someone. And she goes, okay, come on in. So she lets us in. I walk in. I look through the glass. And here you are. Here you are, like, doing your radio
program. With the guy that drove me around.
Yeah. He's here. We just have this crazy reunion out in the bookstore. And we're loving on each other so much that the bookstore worker, who's not a believer, is Jewish, but not a messianic believer, says, wow, every time when I see you guys, I want what you have.
Wow.
Come on.
And you got the Hebrew New Testament.
We got the Hebrew New Testament. We delivered it to the waitress tonight. And
I come out of the show, and there's your smiling face. It took a second to realize who you were. Yeah. It's like, what in the world are you doing here?
I know.
So listen, for the skeptics out there, God does lead, but here's the biggest takeaway for me, the motivation of love. That, look, it's fine to just go to a restaurant to get a meal. That's fine. And it's fine to just be out on a tour of a country and just enjoy the country. But it's also fine to say, God, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? Is there someone in need? Because now that means that you're not just going to eat and to get, but to give.
That's right.
And look at what God opened up here. And one other thing, just my little pet peeve, but I'm going to use this as a teachable moment. The one term that's universally mispronounced in the Messianic Jewish movement and the Christian world is Holy Spirit. And it's Ruach HaKodesh with the accent on the first syllable, not the second syllable. But here I am pronouncing it correctly, but it was my brother who was out in the restaurant being used by God. So the point is, you don't have to know Hebrew perfectly. You don't have to be able to sing. You have to love people and know the Lord. And if you do, you'll have something for them. You could just pray, hey, can I pray for you? That's if it's from your heart that you really care about others and the Lord is in you, something will happen. And when it doesn't, that's what drives you back to God, doesn't it? It drives you back on your knees to say, God, there's got to be more. And I don't want to be just like the rest of the world. But the very thing, we were talking about it right before the broadcast, how does the church provoke Israel to envy? It's not by being more Jewish than Jews. It's not by being smarter. It's not by making more money. It's not by having better traditions. It's by having a certain relationship with God and walking in forgiveness of sins and life in the Spirit that makes them say, I want what you have. Hey, Steve, the time I spent with you, you guys are true blue. And the moment I heard the story, you being here, I said, awesome, we've got to get you on the air. And I believe you'll provoke many that listen to the show today. So one more time, you do it. I'll butcher it. Give us the website.
Firebasemovement.com.
And do you have any outreaches scheduled in the States?
We do. We have an outreach in Detroit, May 7th to the 21st. Love Detroit. 2 weeks of 24/7 worship and prayer and 24/7 outreach into Motor City. And then June, I think it's 18th to 10 days. So the 27th in the Twin Cities, which is Minneapolis, St. Paul. And then fall, October 28th to November 4th in Los Angeles.
All right, awesome. And friends, let's pray for Shriel. My bottom line, you walk in love, you know the Lord. God will use you to touch a lost world. Hey friends, you're going to find out how to live amazed in God today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Adonai, Adonai, Adoneinu, Asher tna horcha al hashamayim.
That is the beautiful voice of Marty Goetz speaking words from the Psalms in Hebrew. And we are here live in Israel, in the Galilee, in Tiberias.
Woo!
All right. With our great tour group. And we had an amazing first hour. I encourage you, ladies, to go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Just click on listen. You can listen to the whole show, both hours, as we now enter our second hour of radio broadcasting as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a world in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. If you have a question you'd like to ask me, especially Israel, Jewish related, we'll take some calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But first, I want to hear from some of the folks in our tour group. A little later in the broadcast, James Robinson is going to be joining us. He's got a brand new book out called Living Amazed. Talking about divine encounters, we just heard an amazing story about divine encounters that you'll want to hear for yourself. And if you don't get our podcast, please subscribe. It's free, and you can get it on thelineoffire.org. All right, let's hear from some of the folks that were out touring today. Who wants to go first? All right, somebody come up and just, all right, grab this mic. Familiar face, I think, from last night, but we'll try this again. What most impacted you today on the tour? Give us your name again.
Yeah, this is Jacob from North Pole, Alaska.
Yeah.
And
he claims he's seen elves, but that's we dispute that.
Yeah, so anyway, it was amazing. So Scott took us over to an underprivileged Jewish home, and I guess that they have like 15 kids from this particular city, I believe it was Tiberias, and
there's, by the way, there's scores and scores and scores of places like this in Israel. There is an issue with poverty and with underprivileged families. It is a real issue here.
Yeah, and so this was like 15 of the, like basically the poorest, hardest hit kids, and so we show up here, and basically the kids run up to us and greet us, and all of a sudden we're interacting with the kids and playing with the kids, and my wife grabs the face paint and starts doing the face paint on the kids. And it was just amazing because here we are in Israel, coming to experience the Holy Land, and all of a sudden we're playing with these kids and so humbled and just seeing God move. And I guess, out of seeing all of the things and doing all of the activities, like just meeting these kids and just having such a heart, and Scott really like emphasized to us, that's one of the number one things that we can do is bless Israel and bless the people of Israel, especially these kids. And the least of these, like Jesus said, like as you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. And that was so impacting to just go out there and do that today.
Yeah. And let me say this, when Paul and Peter have their discussion, Paul, Peter, Jacob, James, and Galatians, the second chapter, they said, all right, Paul, you've got the message of the gospel for the uncircumcised. We've got it for the circumcised. It's interesting. God takes the most educated Jew among them and sends them to the Gentiles. But here's what's fascinating is that they said, just remember the poor, which Paul was apt to do. What he meant there, what they meant, was the poor in Jerusalem. That's who Paul received the offerings for, was the poor believers in Jerusalem. It remains something sacred to meet those in need in Israel. Yes, God cares about kids all around the world, but often we forget that in Israel. And this was actually money that was raised through Scott's ministry, Together for Israel. Scott Volk, who's guest hosted for me on some of our Thursday shows, and viewers around the world on God TV gave to help with this project. There is going to be a major rehab of that facility.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing.
single flame. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of our broadcast live from the Galilee in Tiberias. All right, tell you what, let's hear from a couple other folks on this tour and just about the impact of being here. I think it's good to know it. If you have the opportunity to go on a tour to Israel, if we do it a couple of years from now, if that does happen, just find out why. So give us a first name, all right, and where you're from, and then what impact you today. You'll hear another familiar voice from last night. These young guys are straight to the mic here. Go ahead.
My name is Michael from Germantown, Maryland.
And you also won a book one time by being whatever number caller it was, or was it getting a question right?
It was actually getting a question right about you being a drummer. I don't know if you remember posing that question.
I don't remember posing it.
You played a clip.
Ah, okay. We discovered some old clips before I was saved playing in a rock band.
Right.
Right, got it. Okay. And did you have to guess what instrument I was playing on it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And I remembered you had said you were a drummer, so.
Good job there, man.
So it was pretty easy.
All right. So what most impacted you today?
I would say the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, because there's just something about being on those waters. It's not like going on any boat ride. You're going where Jesus walked on water, where he taught, where he did miracles. And there's just something powerful just being on that boat, and we had worship music on, and I was just really touched.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I was praying by the Sea of Galilee today because just, you know, being near our hotel, and thinking, okay, it's just water. It's just water. But we're working on, it's just dirt we're walking on. But when something actually happened there, I remember in 1989, as I was finishing writing my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, that I wrote the last two chapters. I was in Connecticut, and the pastor said, hey, where Jonathan Edwards preached his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Enfield, Connecticut, Enfield. He said, that's right near us. You want to go see it? And there's just a boulder there. The church building isn't there anymore. There's just a big rock, and then it's written on it, whatever, summer of 1741, he preached this message. And it was stirring. I mean, I finished that book, which is a book about repentance and revival, stirred, like, something happened. There was an outpouring there. But you're talking something of greater consequence than an outpouring in the United States. We're talking about where Jesus himself performed the miracles, things you read about in the Bible. If someone was to say to you, okay, so how, all right, it's amazing, but how do you think it actually impacts you? What now happens in your thinking or in your life having been there? Could you articulate it?
One thing I felt was even more of a love for Israel and the Jewish people, just being in Israel and actually experiencing that moment.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, you know, this is the apple of God's eye, and we're, you know, we sung Israel's national hymn on the boat as well.
And, yeah.
And it just reminded me of how God brought them back to the land too.
Yeah.
And how prophetic that is. And it's the significance.
Right. You're in the midst of an ongoing miracle, despite political issues and controversies and the fact that Israel's not perfect, right? You're in the midst of it. All right. Somebody else. All right. Come around. Give us your name, where you're from, first name, where you're from, and then what most impacted you today.
My name is Harry, and I'm from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay.
We went to Capernaum, which is the home base, hometown of Jesus during his ministry.
So the ancient ruins there.
And, yeah, we saw the ruins of the synagogue that Jesus probably taught in there.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely holy place, just amazing.
Yeah, and think of it. How many people do you think could have fit in that synagogue?
Oh, maybe 150, 200, 300.
Yeah, I mean, maybe max. It's not like he was speaking to hundreds of thousands, but that's where, you know, his disciples would come and hear and listen and grow. And what were you feeling when you were in the middle of those ancient ruins?
I felt a certain connection with a holy past, something that happened there that was so miraculous and wonderful.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, there is some connection that happens. It's invariable. When you come and you're in the midst of it, the perspective does change. Hey, I appreciate that. Anybody else want to weigh in? All right. There you go.
Yeah, I'm Gordon from the UK.
All right.
Yet the whole experience, not just today, but yesterday as well, has been quite profound. We've heard from Tish and Scott some of the history, some of the things that God has done in this great land, the restoration that's gone on, the power of God that's been brought into place here now, and the changes that have taken place in quite a short space of time. And, you know, some of the instructions that Tish has been given, you know, as a British guy.
And Tish is our tour guide.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Tisha. Uh-huh.
As a British man, I was very interested, although I have studied about the Balfour Declaration, things like that.
Yeah, which 1917, 100 years ago this year.
Yes. And it's interesting that you chose the book that you're giving away, the free
book. Our hands
today.
Are stained with blood.
Our
yeah.
hands are stained with blood. And I thought, how culpable are Britain as well in this matter? Because surely they will be, or they are, in reneging on some of the...
Yeah, and it is tragic if you think that there was real warfare. I mean, guys like Menachem Begin and others that were part of underground groups to try to overthrow British rule in the country leading up to 1948. But when Great Britain did not allow Jewish refugees coming in from Europe to enter Palestine, then they could have saved their lives. And somehow there has been a deepening rift. Yeah. But by God's grace, it's not over. And we want to see the history change. You know, Derek Prince says this, so it's his testimony, not mine. But as someone that spent a lot of time in Israel and was here at the birth of Israel, modern rebirth, and as citizen of England and trained as a scholar in England, that he felt the Lord showed him that Great Britain ceased to be great. You know, you used to be the sun never slept over Great Britain, right? And that as Great Britain turned away from standing with Israel, standing with the Jewish people, it has declined and declined and declined. Now, again, there's going to have people that dispute that. You can't definitively prove it. Yes. But in your heart of hearts, how do you feel about that?
Yes, I actually, when Tish was talking about this very thing, it occurred to me the culpability of Britain under the mandate, when the mandate was due to be administrated, and the percentage of land that was given to the Jewish people as compared to the percentage of land that was given to Transjordan and the Arabs. And there was supposed to be a transaction where the Jewish people were taken up to their part of the land and the Arabs were taken to Transjordan. And I thought to myself, well, if that would have taken place, that actual transaction, and it had been done in that manner, you wouldn't have the problems, there wouldn't be the problems between Jews and Arabs.
You'd have a two-state solution. You would have had that from the start.
Yes,
basically.
Yeah. But therefore, if that would have happened in the light of prophecy, how could prophecy be fulfilled if that would have happened then?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, God probably has about 11 answers for that that we don't know. But yeah, but thank you for sharing that so poignantly. I do appreciate it. And look, these are serious issues. We don't look at Israel in an idolatrous way. And I, of all people, as a Jewish believer in Jesus, that's the last thing that I'm going to do. And it's always a spiritual battleground in that regard, being in Israel with religious Jewish influence and not believing in Jesus, Yeshua, and other problems that Israel has like everybody else has. But it's undeniable to look at and see what God has done and the restoration that he's worked. And to me, it takes eyes of anti-faith to deny it. You have to deny the evidence that's all around you. Hey, we've got a bunch more to share with you. We come back, I'm going to take some questions from our tour group here, and then in a few minutes bring on my friend James Robison, Living Amazed. That's his story, and he's been amazed for decades at what God did in his own life. And if you don't know his story, if some people had his way, he never would have been born. He was conceived in rape, and here God's used him in extraordinary ways, you know, as a close confidant of the President of the United States right now. Who knows what God is going to do? But look, all he's looking for is not some amazing talents and amazing abilities and superstars. He's looking for people who completely give their lives to him and say, God, here I am, send me, use me. I've said for many years, if you don't hold back anything from God, he won't hold back anything from you. So say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want my life to count. I don't care about being famous or no. I just want Jesus to be glorified through me. I want my life to make sense. In the light of eternity, we've got one shot, just like this tour group here. They're not spending all day in bed and never going out to see things. They're here with a busy schedule because it's an intensive week, and they've paid money to be here, and they've traveled to be here, and they've made sacrifices to be here. They want this week to count for the rest of their lives. Well, how much more should we want our lives to count for the rest of eternity? Wherever you are, whoever you are, today let it be the day where you say, God, everything I have is yours. I want to glorify you. Trust me, he has things for you to do. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us. Yes, we are coming away live from Israel. Yeah, we still have folks with us from the tour group. It is 10:20 in the evening. And at what time does the bus leave? I think I'm meeting you somewhere along the line. At 8 a.m. Yeah, I think I'm meeting you. What's that?
Wake up call
at 6:30. Yeah, I got a wake up call in my room this morning. I've just been going to sleep, actually, because I stay up late. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH if you have a call or a question. But I'm looking at an email that came in during the break from an old friend. He has a friend, Jewish believer, and a man that's been a leader in his life. And now he's got some questions. He's got some questions, Jewish-related questions and issues that are coming up that are, giving some questions. Well, here we are to help. But, friends, we can't do this on our own. We need folks praying. We need folks giving, serving. I'm one person, and the more that we can multiply what we do, the more people we can reach. There are Jewish people seeking. There are Jewish people with questions. The more that we multiply our resources are out there, the more that we can have people sharing the gospel, reaching out to Jewish people, sharing our resources with them, the better. So pray with us that God would enable us to be even more effective in the coming days in reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Doors are open. Hearts are open. Believe God with us. If you want to help us financially, just go to thelineoffire.org and click on donate, just designated for Jewish ministry, and it'll help us directly reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm going to take a few questions from folks in our tour group here. I'm holding up a mic, and whoever comes around first, all right, give us your first name, where you're from, and then your question. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Karen from the UK.
All right. Do you know the other guy we just had on from the UK?
Only 25 years.
Okay, only 25. All right.
We were in Jerusalem Shabbat on last weekend, and it was amazing. Everything closed down. It was quiet. Mainly the Orthodox Jews were walking in the streets. Everything stops. There's no traffic. There's no trams. There's no cars. There's no buses. It's so peaceful. I mean, it's a little bit busy once you get to the old city. And, you know, it was a real day of peace and prayer. And then come Sunday, we walked to the old city to go to Christchurch, to go to church. And it was so noisy and it was so busy and it was just noisy, and it was really hard to sort of get that same peace going to a church service, but it was peaceful in the service. So, but to me, the chasm seemed so wide. So how do we cross that chasm?
Yeah. So when you're in a country like Israel, which is officially a Jewish state, even though other faiths can worship freely, but you're going to have laws where things are closed on the Sabbath, especially more religious areas. There's nothing that's going to be going on. And Sunday is a normal school day, work day for Israelis. So it's 6 day week, and Sabbath is the day of rest. So in that sense, you'd feel even more out of place, and your faith is even more different. If you lived in Israel and really wanted to have more of a sense of identity with the life flow, then you might go to a Messianic Jewish congregation that would also meet on the Sabbath, you know, Friday night or Saturday morning. And that would give you more of an identification with the life flow. If you're going to celebrate Easter, celebrate it in the midst of the Passover the way it would have been, you know, the death and resurrection of the Messiah, as opposed to a separate holiday, that would give more of a sense of connection. But the bottom line is that a Gentile Christian does not need to show a Jewish person how Jewish they are. Because here, look at me, born and raised in a Jewish home, bar mitzvah 13, but not a religious Jew, right? And now a Jewish follower of Jesus over 45 years and fluent in biblical Hebrew and all this. I can talk with the rabbis about the rabbinic literature. And yet, because I don't have the beard, because I don't wear the ritual fringes, because I don't practice everything, and it's intricate and it's every area of your life. You pray certain prayers at certain times. They'd look at me as, well, you're not Jewish. I mean, they'd know I was, but it's like you're a foreigner to us. So it's not, I'm talking about religious Jews. It's not a matter of you're going to show them how Jewish you are, but rather, number one, having a relationship with God that is attractive to them. Number two, having a personality that is attractive, that you do have the joy of the Lord, that there is peace in your heart in the midst of crisis, that you pray and have a relationship with God. I remember talking to a conservative rabbi that befriended me shortly after I came to faith. And we had a series of miracles with the buying and selling of a house when God called me to quit my job, teach at a Bible school. And it was very specific. Quit your job, do this, get in the house is an impossible thing. The whole thing happened. I felt the Lord spoke it. And I was sharing it with this rabbi friend. And he said, Michael, why is it that God seems to be your next door neighbor? Now, of course, we have problems and issues like everyone else. But he recognized, and he said, it seems like you have this relationship with God like the Old Testament prophets did. You know, the intensity and the power. It just seemed normal to me. And seem normal to my friends. So having that relationship and then having a genuine love for Israel and respect for the Jewish people. You can do that as a Gentile Christian without showing that you're Jewish. You could do that going to church services on Sunday, the whole bit, because in the Jewish mind, it's a separate religion anyway. But as your heart is, hey, I have a genuine heart for the Jewish people. I have great respect for Israel. And say, hey, we are enjoying your Messiah. You may not know this, but Jesus, he's Jewish to us. See, that's the Messiah from Israel. We're indebted to you. As that happens, doors can really be open. And outside of Israel, the vast majority of Jews come to faith through the witness of Christian friends. It's just a demographic thing. So many Christians and the prayers of Christians. So never underestimate that we have wonderful spiritual weapons of love, of prayer, of grace in our lives, and that does provoke people to jealousy. And then your average Israeli is not traditional. They may be very spiritually minded, but they're not religious. Many may even be atheists. You even have in Israel UFO healers, people who claim to heal you through the power of aliens. I mean, so there is a certain spiritual hunger and thirst, and you'll find a disproportionate number of Jews in the cults and false religions. One of the leaders in the Hare Krishna movement in New York, it was based in New York, told me at the height of the movement that 75% of leaders, when a leader came over from India, whatever his name was, Swami, I forget the name, but kind of a respected Sanskrit scholar, came over from India, launched this Krishna consciousness movement, feeling he was being led to do it, started in New York City, all these hippies, all these Jews among them. At the height of the movement, 75% of the world leadership was Jewish. Of the Hare Krishna movement, there's so many Jewish converts to Buddhism. The highest percentage of Jewish converts to Buddhism in the West, Jewish, that the term Jew-Boos was coined to refer to them. So all that to say that Jews are open spiritually, and Jews are coming to faith in Jesus all the time. And when it comes to the really, really religious, yeah, a man's not going to talk to a woman anyway, a strange woman, and there's going to be so much of a gap there. But God has ways of reaching them, and that's when you really pray in particular that the Holy Spirit would do it. Hey, friends, we will be right back from Israel. We've got a bunch more coming your way. We'll take some questions from our tour group, and we'll talk to James Robinson about his new book, Living Amazed, right here on The Line of Fire. Shake the nation, change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nation, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire, live from the Galilee, Tiberias. All right, we still have our holy remnant with us well into their long tour day. It is 10:30 at night in Israel. Delighted to be with you, Michael Brown. Always blessed to have this time broadcast from around the world, but it's always extra special to broadcast from Israel. So God willing, we've got one more at night here in the Galilee, broadcasting from the Galilee Experience. If you ever come to Israel, to the Galilee, make sure you stop by the bookstore here and check out the Galilee Experience. And then, it's not just bookstore, it's a Jewish store. And then, God willing, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll be coming your way live from Jerusalem. Is it the spiritual center of the world, or is that Old Testament? We'll talk about it. All right, before I bring on my friend James Robinson to talk about living amazed in God, I want to grab another question from our tour group or comment as to what impact you most enjoy. So give us your first name, where you're from. Here you go.
My name is Heidi, and I am from San Antonio, Texas.
And originally from?
Barbados.
Barbados, hence the accent. Okay. You've been to Israel before.
Yes.
But you felt specifically to come this time. You brought your 12-year-old son with you.
11, almost 12.
11, right. Keep calling him 12. And your mom came along as well. She's been before, but yes, felt she was to be here. So what's happening? What's going on with your son on this trip? He's a sharp little kid.
He certainly is. Keeps me on my toes. I started homeschooling him about a year and a half ago. I have three boys. The other two are in school. I took him out of school. I felt like that was best for him. And so far, that is just incredible for him. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to bring him on a quote-unquote field trip to Israel on this tour. And it's been incredible. Today, one of the things that was really neat today was when we went to Magdala. How do you pronounce it properly?
Magdala.
And
go ahead.
There was a sweet little Irish lady. She was so precious, and she did like a little teaching there. And really brought in, I don't even know how to explain, but helping us to imagine what it was like with the people in the city. And, you know, this one's grandmother gets healed and she's telling the people in the city because, you know, the grandmother, the son works with this man, and then this man wants to go out to see Jesus. Oh, here the disciples are coming. And it's hard to really explain the way she did quickly. But she did it in such a way that Kiffin, my 11-year-old son, you know, he was talking about it in the hotel room, you know, how he could really imagine, he could picture it. He could picture the disciples walking down the street and then the kids running up the street and telling, you know, someone's father and the father telling the neighbor. And it just brought everything to life. And I think when you come to Israel, that's something that happens in every aspect, is it just comes alive, and you can picture yourself there. You can picture how you would feel in that situation or how it would move you. And seeing that happen with him is just incredible.
Awesome. Yeah. And you never know with that inquisitive little mind of his what he's getting in and taking in. You know, I was in Faroe Islands January of last year, and it's an extraordinary place. It's, I think, 18, 19 islands or something off the coast of Iceland, and maybe 50,000 people there max. And a lot of the culture, even though they go for college and education in Scandinavia, especially the Denmark, so it's gotten more liberal, but a lot of it is old world. And I pictured there, say, the Hebrides Islands, the outpouring from 1949 to 1952 off the coast of Scotland, where a whole island would know about the Spirit Falling because they all lived there the whole lives. Everybody knew each other. They said you could just raise your kids, let them run freely. Everybody knows everybody. And I suddenly could see it better. Being in that environment, it's like, yeah, that's still that old. If God started to move here, it would spread everywhere. Well, how much more you go back to places where things took place in Bible days and you're there? Suddenly you see, yeah, I could see that happening. There's that holy reality. All right. Are you amazed at what God is doing in you, through you? Are you? Then there's more.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, once more, do we still have our tour group here live from Israel? Yeah, we've got a whole lot more than that, but can't get them all in here with us. Plus, they have a long day already. Well, this is the first time, I think, that I'm bringing on my dear friend and colleague, James Robinson, while broadcasting from Israel. James, what a joy to have you on the Line of Fire today.
What an amazing world we live in that we can talk like this.
Yeah, isn't it? Just extraordinary. So speaking of amazing, I'm thrilled that your new book is out, Living Amazed, How Divine Encounters Can Change Your Life. And James, I remember being in a meeting with you a couple years back. You gathered together all the editors working for the stream, stream.org, contributors. There were maybe 25 or so of us at that point. Of course, it's grown much since then. But these were key people involved. And you started sharing some of your life story at some point, sharing the gospel with this famous actor and preaching to these crowds and seeing God move. And what I remember was how amazed you were about how God has worked through you. And that's really something that just kind of shines out from you, that you seem to be, after all these decades, still amazed at the grace and goodness of God.
Well, I'm amazed at his grace. I'm amazed at his supernatural gifting. I'm amazed at that gifting in you. What a remarkable, remarkable gifted man you are. And then the kingdom goals that he puts before us, where we're not here to get out of here. We're here to fulfill a divine mission. We're on an assignment. And it breaks my heart to see that people can't live overflowing with the amazement of his grace and his gifting, his guidance in our life, the wisdom that he so freely offers, and not live excited about fulfilling this mission, proclaiming the kingdom of God, not just in word, but in the actions of our lives. I live amazed at God manifested through our 11 grandchildren, as an example, the youngest being 18, the oldest being 30. They are so full of the glory of God, the grace of God, as well as the gifting of God. And they all know they're here on a divine assignment, and they're excited. I mean, this should not be the exception to the rule. We have such an incredibly indescribable Father, and we have the potential for a family. The relationship you and I have together is nothing short of supernatural. The respect and appreciation that we have, the willingness to speak into one another's lives, the desire for each one of us to see the other blessed by God and a blessing to others. It's just so supernatural. And it is just like, it's like breathing to me to forgive others. It's like breathing to want to share life and the beauty of God with people. I did it with the waitress today at lunch. She was beautiful, a young black girl, 20 years old, just so precious, and just talking to her about, sweetheart, find some boy. You know, they're all looking for you. They'll play you like a fiddle if you let them. But listen, you find a boy that loves Jesus more than he'll ever love you, and you will be loved the way every woman would like to be loved. Now, what was difficult about that conversation?
Yeah. And the fact is, you cared enough to speak, and that love came out of you. Somehow she trusts you. James, why would you be such an unlikely candidate to have a massive international ministry that touches millions of people around the world? New York Times best-selling author of the book Indivisible, many other books. You're now a friend and spiritual confidant of President Donald Trump. You've been a friend and confidant of other presidents. Why would you be such an unlikely candidate?
Well, I'm fatherless. My mother was raped and conceived me. When she asked a doctor to abort me, she was 40 years old, didn't have an income, didn't have a husband. And he said, no, I'm not going to abort that baby in your womb. You may be 40, maybe your first child, you're not married, and it wasn't an expected planned situation, but not going to do it. Well, that in itself was a miracle. Then to grow up in poverty, to be the shyest kid on the planet, I think that's the thing people really need to grasp. I was the kid that moved so often from one location to another that no one knew me. So when they picked teams to play a game, I was never picked. Not for a sporting event, not for anything. Nobody knew me. I was a lonely kid. Nobody praised me. Nobody said, good hit, son. Nice throw, nice catch, nice run. Never heard it. And I was the shyest kid, I believe, that ever went to school. I wouldn't go eat lunch in the school cafeteria, would not stand up in front of the class and give a report. I got zero on a daily report if it had to be public. I wouldn't shake hands with people if they put their hand out at me. I was terrified by people. And for God to call a kid that shy, a fatherless kid, to proclaim the riches of his glory in Christ and the Father that we can have because of the redemptive, regenerative power of Jesus Christ, and to call that shy kid to proclaim the gospel boldly, and in less than 3 days take me from such timidity that I would tremble, and suddenly I am proclaiming God's word 3 days after the call with the same force, the same confidence, the same boldness, the same authority that you hear right now coming out of my voice, when I've had at least three different presidents tell me, do you know it's almost intimidating to be in the room with you? And I would say, why? I never even opened my mouth. They say, we don't know how to explain it. There is an authority. I remember telling Ben Carson, and I had a wonderful visit with him again last Saturday. I love him so much. And I said, Ben, I pray to God give me your compassionate gentleness over and over, but I also pray for you to also speak as one having authority, because that's the way Jesus spoke. And, of course, Ben Carson and I laughed about that. Authority is not volume. It's a confidence in the Lord. And Ben Carson, of course, has that. He overflows with it. But my point is that God did something in a shy kid that is nothing short of supernatural. If he can do that with me, he can use anybody. And you read Living Amazed, you're going to be inspired to live amazed. And you're going to see ways that you see through the eyes of Jesus and begin to respond the way he wants you to. And you are not only going to be amazed, the people you communicate with will be amazed.
Yeah, and friends, you would be hard-pressed to come up with a better list than James Robinson's as to why God couldn't use you when you just heard his list. So it's out of our weakness that his strength is made perfect. And Living Amazed is written not just to tell you amazing things happen in the life of this famous Christian leader, but to say this is the great God that we're serving. Maybe you know the name Andy Pettit. I certainly do, as a New York Yankees fan. He was a top pitcher for the New York Yankees, Houston Astros. He says of the book, James Robinson has hit a home run with Living Amazed, chapter after chapter of intriguing stories, and I'm amazed to see how God has used him and his wife, Betty. His boldness should be an inspiration to us all that we have nothing to fear when living for Jesus Christ. James, who did you write Living Amazed for?
I wrote it for every single person that actually sometimes questions, why are we here? And what are we about? And the life has become almost monotonous and sometimes depressing. And I'm going to tell you something. You can set your sights so high and God lifts you up beyond even those sights to where you're not fulfilling your dreams, but his dreams. His dreams fulfilled in you. And another thing you need to know, God is very much interested in the things that interest you. He loves you as perfectly as any parent could ever love and want the best for their own children. The difference is he knows how to deliver it. He will deliver it. And he will deliver us from the evil that so often entangles us and holds us in bondage. And I experienced that defeat, even as a Christian, where I was like those in the Old Testament, where the prophet said, the enemy has said, lay down, and you become a smooth road for the tormentors to run over. Many people are being run over right now by tormentors. And much of these things you address, I think, right now in the transgender confusion that you address so supernaturally, Dr. Brown, on the stream continually. What a blessing you are. People are living trampled and depressed and missing so much that God freely offers us in Christ. When you read the book, Living Amazed, you're going to see how God can use someone that no one has any idea who he is, a stranger passing through town, and literally, with no exaggeration, basically turn an entire town upside down in a matter of days and then continuing on for months and years. It is the most amazing thing what God can do with a yielded vessel. You are here to live amazed in his power, his divine enabling. That's supernatural anointing. That is God taking the clay of your life and shaping it to be a vessel of honor for his glory, your benefit and to bless everyone you come in contact with. You can live so excited, it's almost unspeakable. By the way, Andy Pettit was supernaturally healed by the power of God. Right after becoming the winningest pitcher, very young in his early 20s, he was about to lose that year and perhaps others, and God touched him. And we talk about that. And then Andy, as shy basically as I am, gave his testimony in that one moment as he did it with me. Over 700 people gave their lives to Christ. It thrilled Andy beyond words that God would use him like that in his little fundamental Baptist church to see a beautiful miracle of God's healing power and come to our TV studio to tell the whole world about it.
Amazing. It is amazing. James, do you have a couple more minutes just to stay on the other side of the break?
It'd be a privilege to.
All right, please do. Thank you.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking with my dear friend, James Robison, who has lived an amazing life. And as we've become very close the last 2 years, I stand amazed at what God continues to do. And now we partner together on the stream. This is something that James has published, stream.org. If you don't go there regularly, do it. I'm blown away by the contributors there. I know, thankfully, we have a lot of folks reading there, but I keep being blown away by the contributors and the wisdom they have and the spiritual insight and the understanding of what's happening in the world. They're politically sharp and economically sharp and spiritually sharp. And so if you don't go there regularly, do so several times a day, stream.org. But you might be saying, look, this guy, all he's ever had is success and things have gone, yeah, he maybe had a rough upbringing, but since he got saved, it's all been great. Well, James, in this book of Living Amazed, you're very honest, and you talk about going through burnout, ministry burnout. Why did you put that in your book? Why is it so important for us to know that we're going to hit these rough spots along the way?
Well, because we're under continual attack, and if we're not suited up in the armor of God and trusting Him, and we get distracted, then we are apt to stumble and even find ourselves in a pit from our own failure to hear or heed the wisdom that God offers and the direction and guidance He so freely offers. We don't spend time with Him. I was going to the Word to get sermons rather than going to the Word to get life. And I had the gift of the Spirit. I had the gift to preach, but I didn't have the fruit of the Spirit being produced in my life because I was not plugged into the heart and mind of God. I wasn't yielding clay anymore. I was becoming hardened, and I was becoming a ground of a field that was filled with predators, and the birds of prey were attacking me. And I want to say to people, all your thoughts are not your own. They didn't originate with you. You have a person that's constantly suggesting things. You know, somebody hurts you, and he'll say, the enemy will say, they did it on purpose. You know they did it on purpose. You don't need to forgive them. They meant to do it. And there's an attractive woman in your office. You say, you know, you could put a move on her. You know, she's vulnerable. She's got some problems right now. That's the enemy. You don't have to just sit around and dream up things that are a distraction. The enemy's throwing them at you. They become a fiery suggestion of the enemy when they lodge, and they begin to burn in your mind like bitterness and hate and unforgiveness and rage or lust or whatever it is. And people need to know that. And I actually expose that very clearly in the book in a very compassionate, healing way. And I'm telling you, the book is filled with the transforming power of God in such an inspirational, it's like the pilgrim's journey, you know. It's just an amazing thing that what God will do when we realize even the journey is the goal because we're continually having opportunities to learn even when we fail.
And in recent years, or even recent months, you continue to be amazed in that God has joined you together with someone like Donald Trump, who all his life basically would have been known as just a wealthy businessman, a narcissist, a playboy, anything but God-fearing, anything but champion of pro-life movement, anything but conservative. And yet God is changing his heart in the midst of his flaws and imperfections. God certainly raised him up to be the president. That's another amazing part of your journey, is it not?
Well, the way he's received me is amazing. The story in there, I've got Governor Huckabee with me tonight taping. He's coming to talk about the book Living Amazed because he's watched my journey for more than 40 years. And I bought him his first suits. And he'll tell that story, but he'll also tell the point of the story of not only what happened to Reagan with our exchange, President Reagan, but actually what took place in Reagan's life because of that encounter from the people around Reagan. They watched it up close and personal. These stories are very, very interesting to people, and I really think you'll be inspired. And right now with President Trump, no one has ever received me more openly, more graciously, and with greater appreciation than he has. Now, don't try to shape him in your image. Don't try that. Let God shape him, but keep praying for him because I think we're watching a miracle before our eyes, and God knows we need one, and God knows we all need correction and change in our lives. I'm finding Mr. Trump a very willing to hear, willing to listen, willing to be shaped person.
Yeah, and friends, all these stories, the amazing journey in the new book, Living Amazed. And by the way, I do not have a physical copy of the book yet, so you owe me one, dear brother.
It'll be there when you get home. I'm sure it will. Everybody can get it on Amazon right now. They'll get it to you quickly. You can also get it Kindle. You can read it online. But you know what, people? I signed 835 copies Sunday at Gateway Church. Amazing. And they said it's the most that have been sold from any author. And I just spoke 2 minutes to the church. But the point is this. They were buying copies for their friends because they want their friends and family members to live amazed. I think that's something you'd consider. The book is actually a wonderful way to share your faith and the greatness of God in any life.
All right, friends, you can go right now to Amazon.com, get the physical copy of the book or download the Kindle. That's what I do. I'm interested in the book. Within seconds, I'm reading it. And it is inspirational. And listen, friends, it's all real. I've known James long enough now and watched him over the years to know this is the real deal. This is the real story. And as a child of God, doesn't matter what weaknesses, struggles you have, what odds are against you, you don't need to live depressed and hopeless because we have an amazing God. And whether no one knows your name or the whole world knows your name, friend, you too can live amazed. That is the new book by James Robinson. Hey, thanks for putting your stories in print for all of us to benefit from and to inspire us to believe for the impossible. I appreciate it and love you, man. Thanks so much.
But I do you too, and same to all your viewers. May God bless you.
All right. Again, the book, Living Amazed by James Robinson. Yeah, I'm eager to get my copy when I get back. Hey, listen, I posted an article on the stream today. Chromosomes don't lie, and biology is reality, not bigotry. And there is a picture, the graphic the publisher put up. It's a boy, it's a girl with a blue cupcake and a red cupcake. And someone in response to that tweeted me just moments ago, this kind of hateful BS is one reason the world is so messed up right now. I substitute it for some of the choice words there. So just saying, chromosomes don't lie, biology is reality, not bigotry. That there's such a thing as boys and girls and gender distinction, that is hateful, and that is why the world is so messed up. That is why, in fact, the reality of that tweet points to why the world is so confused, so turned upside down, and why we seek to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Read the article. Go to thelineoffire.org to read it. Check out my latest videos. If you haven't seen the video, no, you don't get to choose your gender. That's getting a lot of attention, a lot of interest. And let us be a blessing to you. Let us equip you, inform you, strengthen you so that you can go and run your race all the more effectively and touch all the more lives. And to stand with us, to become one of our torchbearers, part of our support team, by all means, go to thelineoffire.org, click on donate, join our support team together. We are making a difference by God's grace around the world. And coming your way this week, live from Israel, my bottom line. Yes, God wants to fill your life with his grace, with his transforming power, so that you too can live amazed.